This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
8 o'clock hour here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Thank you for being a total. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. You can win your Cowboys Lions tickets and some merchandise as well, courtesy of Miller Lite, by joining the KNC Masterpiece from 10 to 2 at Buffalo Wild Wings in Louisville. Bobby will be there. Flagtober rolls on today as well. One of a kind Whataburger G Bag flag. Get your Cowboys tickets and swag with the rest of the shows if you turn it on, leave it on, and meet up with them today. All right, let's get the official picks in. Me and Peyton were wrong last week in picking the Steelers. Bobby and Choppy were right. So don't buzz us, Peyton.
Sorry.
So let's start off with you and the five things you want to see. We need your official selections on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-881. 1053. All right, here we go. Number one with the five things is win the first quarter. Lions are coming off a bye here. And I did some research on teams coming off of a bye, thanks to my guy Bo as well. But teams coming off a bye struggle. They don't have an advantage. They struggle that first game back. Conventional wisdom.
And how far back does that go?
This one is back to, I think, 0-2. Teams coming off a bye are 202 and 180. All right, that's a winning percentage of just over 52%, so kind of a coin flip. But if you break down further into that, those teams coming off a bye have the total margin of victory is 0.1 points. I mean, it is a complete coin flip. Because it's human nature, right? What happens like the first day after vacation when you come back to work?
You want to just die?
You're in a fog, man. Like, you don't know what's going on. And then the week leading into the vacation, you're busy, and especially the Cowboys, like, it's they're going into the bye, so they get there, and they're going to be in the same situation in 2 weeks when they go to San Fran. The Cowboys, we think it's a from a rest perspective, yes, they are rested, but they're rusted. So like Detroit last year, they were coming out of a bye. They won their game by 3 points. It was a road game against the Chargers. They won 41-38, but they struggled that game. The previous year off a bye, they lost by 18.
Wow.
So Campbell is 1-1-1. They had the tie against Pittsburgh off of a bye. So
to that point, it's not as much of an issue anymore, but early on in Dak's career, in fact, like the first half of Dak's career, if he had more than 7 days rest, his numbers were significantly worse than when they were just on normal rest or
makes
even
no
short
sense,
rest.
Right? It makes no sense, but think of it like a pitcher, right?
Rhythm.
A pitcher, what's that?
Rhythm.
Rhythm, yeah. Think of a pitcher, you know, he's off of his normal 4 days rest. Now he's got 8 days rest. Well, he's probably going to be a little wild. His timing, his command of his pitches may be off.
Same thing for a hitter. And then we've seen this with football, with quarterbacks. You know, they get that bye week in the playoffs, and they are a little sluggish. So, food for thought. Number two, big game for the linebackers. Overshown whoever.
Yeah, whoever they're going to be.
Whoever they're going to be. Because they've got Laporta, and Laporta's a good player. But Gibbs out of the backfield, it could be a nightmare in the passing game as well. Nightmare. So keep up with that. Number three, got to wear out their secondary. It's the weak spot of their defense as a unit, and that's a weak link unit. You can absolutely throw on them. Geno did a great job throwing on them a couple weeks ago. Challenge Ragnow, baby. He's coming off the pec. Coming off the pec injury.
Didn't he just beat up Dan Campbell?
He did, but you got to challenge. You got to overload the middle. See what he can handle. Test it. Test that pec. See what, I don't even know which one it is. And then, of course, watch for the fake. The fake punt, the fake field goal, the fake handoff, the halfback option pass. They're going to do something. They're going to do something this weekend.
RJ Choppy with the five things preview. Bobby, start us off with the pick and why.
Yeah, well, I did nail it. Thank you for remembering last week that I nailed the prediction correctly. In fact, I think I said a game-winning touchdown drive from Dak at the end to win it.
I don't remember that.
Nailed that dunk, buckets. This one is Dallas will score a lot of points in this one. This will be when Choppy said last year we were expecting it to be a high-scoring game, I do expect this one is going to be high-scoring. I think Dallas can take advantage of a lot with Detroit's secondary and be able to move the ball down the field. I think this will be a good game for Dak. The problem is I think there's just too many different ways that Detroit can challenge and stress the Cowboys' defense, particularly their linebackers, particularly the way that this offensive line gets up to the second level and is able to clear space for the running backs. And they've got really good, tough pass catchers who, no matter how physical the game gets, they just don't get shaken by it. So I've got the Lions in this one, 31-28, sending you to a 500 record heading into the bye week and then a date with San Francisco.
I'm iffy on the score. I'm not iffy on Detroit with the points. Although the points have gone to 3.5. I'm sure Choppy can tell you where to get it at 3. The over under 52.5. The Lions win this game by more than 3 points. It's either 34-23, 35-24, something like that. I have the Lions winning by about 10 points, and they score in the 30s.
I have the same. I got 31-20 Lions. I think the under is the play here. It's at 52-52.5, depending on where you get it at. I think the underplays in the NFL this year.
If your final score prediction is like 1 or 1.5 off, would you bet?
I would not bet that. No.
Okay. So then why are you saying the under plays?
I think the under is what's going to win. I think it is going to go under. I wouldn't bet it though. I don't trust it enough to bet it.
Yeah.
But if you were to ask me, if I had to pick one, I would probably bet the under. But I do think the Cowboys, I think they lose by 10. I'm with you guys, or with you on that one. I think it's 31-20 Lions.
Pepe.
I'm going Lions 30-20. I mean, I worry about the Lions running game and the Cowboys' inability to stop.
Choppy get aligned.
Yep. Yeah. Although Choppy eats his breakfast.
By the way, Bobby went in the studio, in Peyton's studio in the commercial break, took the rest of his breakfast sandwich and threw it in the trash.
Peyton got
hype in that. I've never heard Peyton that hype. In the commercial break, he was getting loud with Bobby.
Dropping F-bombs as I was walking out the door. Now he said, fine, go throw it. He's like, go in there, go show Sean and RJ. Look, you didn't eat his breakfast, effing baby. That's what he said.
Yeah, the Cowboys haven't won a home game in a long time. I think they're 0-4 in the last 4 home games, including the Packers' loss in the playoffs. So I have Lions winning 30-20. Cowboys offense just not going to get it going. And for the Fantex, the Tolo's weighing in on the Frankel and Frankel injury tourney Fantex. A lot of Lions here, except for the 903, who says Cowboys dominate 37-24. 972 says Lions by 20. 817, Lions 35-13. And 469 and 817. Both have a 17-point Lions victory.
Roy Smith over on the YouTube says Lions 30, Cowboys 21. That seems to be about the general score range all you guys have settled in.
By the way, some follow-up from yesterday. CeeDee Lamb confirmed that the sideline video with Dak Prescott was about jump balls. Jump balls for jump balls. And I got you. Dak was asked about people making a lot over the sideline interaction. His first reaction was, quote, it's comical. So I roll my eyes at Dak's reaction to it. If NBC was accurate and correct, that Dak did not look up and just kept looking at his iPad, you talk about it. You ask about it.
Mm-hmm. But you can't know that, like, I don't think even they can know when you do. Yeah, when they pan
why
out,
would Dak not look up and be like,
when they pan, yeah, when they pan out,
yeah,
and on the second, but he could have.
Collinsworth said, I blame Collinsworth for that by saying Dak didn't even look up. You got to know that that is happening while CD's saying it to him versus a separate shot.
Yeah, because the shot pulls out and then he's still looking down at the iPad. But when he first says jump balls for, I got you, we have no idea if Dak looked up and nodded. There's no telling because the shot is so tight at first and then it pulls out. So
and they've had enough sideline history that it's a thing now. So Dak can roll his eyes, get mad all he wants, but it has been a thing. And in that shot, at least, he didn't even blink. He just kept staring down, which makes you think he was annoyed in that moment. I was questioning, though, whether that shot was happening while Lamb was talking to him.
Yeah, and I mean, like, look, I mean, just another thing.
And let me say one more thing. And correct me if I'm wrong, Bobby, you're down on the field with NFL Films. Everyone, NFL including Network. Jerry Jones, they always say, do you know how many times that happens? Do you know how often that takes place? My counterback question would be, don't we have everything wired and filmed to the point now on the sidelines where we would basically pick up every time that happens? Correct me on this.
So,
why are you smiling?
Because I think there are...
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The access and the filming and being on top of everything. I wonder how often do we actually miss anything? There was an incident that happened...
But when that comes out, what, the end of the year? A lot of that stuff?
Well, every week they do.
I'm talking about even the TV crew for that game so seeing something.
They mic up the guards. Both guards for both NFL teams are mic'd up. So that when you hear...
they mic up the guards?
So when you hear Dax cadence, the why-day-day, all that stuff, that's microphones picked up off of the guards.
Oh!
And so
I never knew that.
Yeah, that's how they get the...
Is it like an NFL rule they have to wear it?
So Zach Martin and Tyler Smith will have mics on their jerseys so that they can pick up the sound of...
But
like
they have
Dax
to.
Cadence, yeah. And wow. So, and then similarly, guys on the other team have to be mic'd up so that they can, you know, pick up the cadence for the broadcast. So that's something that exists. So I think because of that and because of what that's supposed to be used for, there's certain, like, if that mic picks up something else, or like you can't keep a recording of certain things where it's like, so there are some things where maybe we hear about it and just because of agreements with the NFL, it's like, well, that's not allowed to get out because of the way that it was picked up or the way we heard about it. But there is a lot of...
How many sideline eyes are there camera-wise on both
and
teams?
Mics and microphones, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Arthur Smith talked about it yesterday with the Steelers. He called it. He's like, it's like the Truman Show now with the NFL, where there's a camera like popping up in every single area, and you don't even know where cameras are. But I mean, Rocket Ishmael told the story a couple weeks ago on Cowboys Crosstalk that he was like, we were in the huddle one time. I'd missed a pass, like I had dropped a pass, and when I got back to the huddle, Eric Williams was just staring at me. He's like, no camera ever picked this up, because he was talking about what do cameras pick up, and he said no camera picked up that Eric Williams looks at me and goes, you dumb MF-er. He's like, catch the effing ball. And then he whacked him. And he's like, the whole left side of my body was numb for the rest of the first half. And he's like, they don't pick that up. But by the end of it, we're all good. He said, in fact, most times I ever thought this is going to make us reach a breaking point and we're not going to be able to get along. This will be awkward in the locker room. He's like, it was always the next day everybody had forgotten about it.
Some of those are great. Like the Parcells Sims fight on the sideline.
Shut up, Sims.
Hey, Phil, I'll call the plays.
Is your team losing worse than your dog dying? That's part of the Major League Baseball playoffs that we'll talk about. Then Mike McCarthy next on Sean and RJ.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Swung on, hit a ton, deep left, green, back, track, wall, gone! David Fry! Off the bench, a two-strike, two-out, two-run home run.
I'll see Jake Reapma up in here today. Oh, Sam. Oh, Sam broadcasting. Yeah. New co-worker here at the Fan, Detroit Diehard. And his room is pitch black.
Did he travel again? He went down to Houston for the Lions or for the Tigers game. Maybe he's doing the same, trying to get some Tigers baseball in.
They call them the Gritty Tigs this year. The Gritty Tigs. They blew it. I mean, they were up one in the seventh, and then Fry hits that home run. Great call by Cleveland Radio. And then later on, and how often does this happen? How often does a guy hit a go-ahead home run and then bunt the next time he's up? On a safety squeeze.
Guardians get the 5-4 win over the Detroit Tigers. The Yankees eliminate Kansas City. Royal fans may be having to wonder if they're living the life of Philadelphia fans, because the Phillies were eliminated by the Mets, and a Phillies fan thinks that that loss was worse than her dog dying. Grand Slam took the cake. Fan is short for fanatic.
Look, yeah, it is.
There have been some losses that maybe hurt similarly to my mom. That are right up there. I think probably the loss of the Steelers to the Cowboys, because it secured the job a little bit for the head coach a little bit more. So that would hurt.
Stop. Gosh, almighty, your name.
Outside,
I can't leave well enough alone. Cannot leave well enough alone.
Philly's bullpen had like an 11 ERA in this series. Outside of Harper and Castellanos, the Philly hitters went 13
and Twitch, 100. Twitch, shove it.
Wow.
Those of you don't get on me and don't be hating on me after Bobby today. Bobby today is the reason why. So you continue to love him. You must be little irritants too at your job. So shove it, Twitch. Text, you're cool. Twitter, you're cool. Twitch. Whatever that line is from the
Twitch
movie.
Loves me.
The Twitch loves Bobby. Shove it,
I
Twitch.
Am the king of the Twolos. That's what I do.
You are. There's no doubt about that one.
Back to you.
But Philly hitters were 13 of 100, not named Bryce Harper and Nick Castellanos.
Don't use that as a drop.
You get hit with a lot of cat paws already.
With an 11 ERA. So it's
Caitlin, figure out the dump button on the camera. Sorry on your birthday, Caitlin.
But that, first of all, nothing's worse. This is not worse than your dog dying, unless you hated your dog. Now, maybe she hated her dog, but it's not worse. But how about this? They were up 2-1 to Houston in the World Series. The next game, they got no hit. Tied it. They had 2 games at home after that, too. They wind up losing the rest of the series, and they lose the series 4-2. They're up 2-0 on Arizona last year, and 3-2 coming home. Coming home. And they blow them both. And then this one, you know, you had I mean, you had the best pitcher in the world in Wheeler, at least one of the best postseason pitchers going right now. And you wind up winning, what, one game at home, and then you get just destroyed in game three, and then you get this one where Lindor hits the grand slam. Awful spot for Philadelphia.
Did this save Cashman's job no matter what happens from here on out? Beating the Royals and getting to the ALCS?
Yes.
And Boone's job.
I think so. The problem is that, you know, if you play Detroit in the next round, you have everything set. Scoobel is only going to get to go game four and I think it's going to go 3-7 for him. If you're only facing Scoobel maybe once in the series.
To be fair, that is still a good Tiger. Like, the Tigers pitching isn't just about Scoobel.
It's not. You're right. It's not. But they did trade Flaherty away.
Yeah.
Right? But the pitching's good. It's and a much Chafin. Better. What's it? And Chafin. Yeah. Absolutely. If you don't beat Detroit when you're only going to face Scoobel one time until a game seven and you have home field, I don't know. I think all bets are off. But
and you want some fun tonight, ladies and gentlemen? Game five,
yeah.
L.A., you versus Yamamoto.
Yeah.
Darvish versus Yamamoto's season has gone.
Okay. He's not as good as Darvish was his rookie. If I remember right, Darvish's first year.
Hang on, don't look it up, Bob. Did you already get to it?
To Darvish?
No.
Or Yamamoto?
Yamamoto.
I already got to Yamamoto. I did not get to Darvish.
All right.
Give me his ERA, Chop.
3.95?
Three.
Three?
With a FIP of 2.61.
Wow, 7-2 with a 3.
Because he was hurt for a while.
There and were, a 1-1-1 whip.
It's good. And what was Darvish? Let's go look
at that's not
only
better.
Pitched 90 innings, though.
Right.
Three
ERAs
is
pretty good.
You, his rookie year, was 3.90. But you also struck out 220 batters and pitched almost 200 innings.
It's better than I thought it was. It's better than I thought it was for Yamamoto. Because, he was hurt for half the year. Ooh, that's going
to
be juicy.
I can't.
Heck yeah.
I still have to. Every time I see you on the mound, I got to cheer for him. I always loved him.
Really?
Yep. I know a lot of people felt like he was a disappointment. He was one of those guys who, even when he was inconsistent, like, that was just one of the most exciting players to tune in and watch. Just the way that he could make the ball move.
Yeah,
and
it just felt like he made his life like more complicated. You
it
know?
Did.
It was like narrowed down. It's like he was the pitching version of that show Chopped, where it's like all those cooking shows, they're like Top Chef, really. They're like, don't use 11 ingredients, use 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't use 8 ingredients, use 3.
Yep.
Make it simple.
It was a little
he had too much in his arsenal.
Now, is this one of the games you would least like to be in attendance for a safety standpoint? A game five between Dodgers and Padres, dude, with the way those fans go at each other?
It could be nuts. It really could
but
be.
If the Padres win that and you're leaving Dodgers Stadium, oh, I wouldn't want to mess with that.
Also, I generally, if I want to watch Ohtani versus Judge, I want to be there. But a pitching matchup, I want to watch at home.
Look at the Japanese takeover. You, Yamamoto, Shohei, all in the spotlight tonight. Game five moves on to the NLCS. Hockey.
Thomas Harley gets it into the corner. Marchman has it. Wrist shot. Score! He's got a pair. Mason Marchman, a sneaky wrister, past Wedgwood. And it's 4-1 Dallas.
4 goals in 5 shots? Are you kidding me?
Yep. They really opened up things in the second period, to say the least, because of the first period they were trying to get both teams looked like they had never played hockey before.
You can make the argument that the Stars just overall were outplayed, but they still end up with the road win at Nashville to begin their season.
Great road win, and Nashville's
go Stars,
got,
baby.
You know, they got a couple of guys that are new to the team. They're still trying to work things through. Stamkos, Marchessault. So there's some guys out there that they'll be better as the year goes on and as they figure out how to play with each other. Stop it, Bobby. But it's a good win either way, because Nashville's going to be one of those teams that is going to be tough all year.
All right, what do you want, Diddy or Baby?
WNBA.
Oh. Diddy. Let's do Diddy. An attorney.
The other way around.
Right? attorney Ariel Mitchell Kidd
says she's been told there are three incriminating videos.
I'm tired of hearing this.
Yeah.
Stop telling me people are on the tapes. Big A-listers. People are paying. Give me the names. Name the names.
Name names. So
tired of it.
There's apparently he's on the tapes with three A-list celebrities engaged in acts they do not want the public to see. The Department of Homeland Security says there are recognizable names in the footage we've obtained. They won't confirm their identities, but yep, they are.
Yep, that's what it was about.
They are shopping this video.
Who is
the people who have the video?
Oh, yeah.
They are shopping the video. Videos.
Can you... Shopping it to who? Like Vivid Entertainment?
TMZ? How much would TMZ pay?
Oh, gosh.
I've always wondered how that process goes.
Like...
Mean like...
Like you're purchasing crime. Yeah, like can you do that?
Well, you purchase crime with Diddy beating up a girl or Ray Rice video.
Ray Rice. Yeah, but
it's
crime. Like, for instance, it's illegal to possess... You know, child stuff.
Yeah. You have to find out.
Is it similarly where if this is a sex crime, is it illegal to possess that?
That's a great question. I mean, so if it was, here's the interesting tug of war. The cops want these videos, obviously, right? The prosecutor.
Turn it over.
Right. The prosecutors want these videos.
Evidence.
But if it's illegal to possess these videos, are they going to say, hey, we really want these? But we're also going to arrest you for having them.
You
want to
be creeped out? Yesterday, an old video emerged of 15-year-old. The report is that Justin Bieber supposedly having a really, really hard time with all this.
Yeah, he's in a hard place mentally, they're saying.
It is illegal, by the way, according to a quick Google search, that in most districts or most jurisdictions, you cannot even possess videos of sexual assault.
This is Diddy back in the day with a 15-year-old Justin Bieber just hanging out.
So check this out, yo. Justin, you ever seen the movie 48 Hours? Right now, he's having 48 hours with Diddy, him and his boy. They're having the times of their lives, like, where we hanging out and what we doing. We can't really disclose. It's definitely a 15-year-old's dream. You know, I have been given custody of him. You know, he signed to Usher.
I'm signed to Usher.
I had legal guardianship of Usher when you know, he did his first album. I did Usher's first album. I don't have legal guardianship of him, but for the next 48 hours, he's with me. So, and we gonna go full, buck full crazy.
They're saying that Bieber's parents just like threw him to the wolves here. They're just like, go be a star. It's awful. I felt like that poor kid, like, and now he's 30 something years old, but there's no telling.
I remember we were doing radio, right? And we were just destroying him every single week. It was like Manziel. And we're like,
with Bieber?
Yeah. Little punk, what are you doing? And then you factor all this in.
Totally different.
Parents, mentors, abuse, and factors into all of it.
Yep. Like, there's generally, when people go into, you know, like, they do a lot of things, there's generally a reason why.
Listen to us help Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys beat Detroit on Sunday. Coach McCarthy joins us next on Sean and RJ. It is now time for the Mike McCarthy Show, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys, every single Friday here with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Cowboys, Lions, Sunday, right here on DFW Sports Station. We're giving away tickets to this thing and merchandise courtesy of Miller Lite. You can join the KNC Masterpiece from 10 to 2 at Buffalo Wild Wings in Louisville, right off the 35 Frontage Road. Let's bring in Coach right here on DFW Sports Station. Good morning, Mike. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Good morning, gentlemen.
Thank you for joining us, as always. What a tough, gritty road win. How happy were you with your team coming off last week in the elements without a couple of big-time players? What does that say about your football team, Coach, heading into another gritty one against Detroit?
I felt they had a good week. When you have injuries in youth and you just have some moving parts, and then to go up there and, you know, with the delay and so forth, just very impressed with the whole football operation there. And I thought the players just did a great job staying after it. We knew we were going to have to grind it out to get that win. And I thought they did an excellent job with that.
Coach, without giving away too much, obviously, what are the major changes, if any, that Mike Zimmer has done with this defense with the way that they've recovered over the past few weeks?
I think the biggest thing is you're seeing it come together. I mean, when you look at our football team, you know, it changes every year, the dynamics of your roster and so forth. And, you know, and anytime you're dealing with, you know, newness, there's a level of transition that you have to go through. And I just think you're seeing the defense is getting connected more and more each week. And then with the challenge of the injuries, there's just more work to do. But I just think you're seeing the confidence and the connection is improving, and our guys are doing a good job staying after it.
Coach, I want to ask you just a general football question based upon the fourth down game winner against the Steelers. When teams call timeouts back and forth on each other to get a look, right? Like Pittsburgh wants to see how you're lined up for your play. How often does that change what you do? Or you want to see how they're lined up? What's the give and take there with the information on those situations and how much it completely alters things when teams are calling those timeouts to get a look?
I mean, the reality of it gives you the opportunity to change your call. We call it a Kodak moment. So if we're on defense and we wait till the offensive lines just to see what formation they're thinking, and also there's a gamesmanship to it where you're trying to get him to maybe go to his next call. And then offensively, you have a call and then it gets down to, maybe they run the person, they may change the personnel late. So you may not have the particular matchup or the pre-snap look's not really what you want. So then you'd call the time on offense. So it's really a Kodak moment, just to you're trying to win you're getting every information out of the pre-snap process.
Mike McCarthy, joining us here at 105 through the Fan. It's hard to keep a team together in this league. Detroit is, as personnel-wise, as close to being the same team as they were last year. How much different do they look on tape? Do they look like they're as good as same kind of magic, or they look different on tape?
I think so far this year, though, I mean, they're playing at a high level of efficiency. The numbers point to that, but so does the video. And that's what you're really always striving for, just to get that connection, that continuity. And you can see it in their pace of play, through the pre-snap. Substitutions clearly in what they're trying to do. Also, you can see that the volume of their scheme is high. So, that comes, as a coaching staff, when you feel like, you do have the connective components in place that you can do more with your players and also keep the same level of efficiency. So, so far it looks like they have that.
Last year was a much lower scoring game than I think a lot of us thought it was going to be, the way those two offenses were rolling. But so I think it surprised a lot of people. Do you see another low scoring type game, or do you think this thing opens up a little bit more?
Well, I think that's why you play the game. I think the capability of being high scoring is definitely there. If you look at the offensive makeups, but also you got to look at the way the defenses are playing and what's going on there too. And I think that, the special teams, I know it's an indoor, so I don't think the return game will be, there won't be a lot of reps there. But, you got to make sure that, the special teams doesn't factor either in the field position. But, yeah, I think there's potentially there's any time two offenses that come together and you're playing indoors, it definitely has that opportunity.
Mike McCarthy every Friday with us here on 105.3 The Fan. And speaking of scoring, Coach, we're going to be rats here, or we're going to rat out some of the guests we've had on this week. Oh, yeah. At least three different Lions people have told us that they expect Dan Campbell to like throw back to an offensive lineman or do some type of trickery to avenge last year. So you can dismiss it. You can flush it, Coach. But if it happens, we would like credit in the post game by name specifically.
Well, I really appreciate you guys stepping up your game in preparation, because Lord knows you guys needed to. So
is that our trick plays? Is that something? I mean, obviously you're prepared for them throughout the season, but like, is that something that you look at each team individually? Like, hey, you got to be more on your toes with this game, or you're just always prepped?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everybody has a history, and now that Ben's been calling it, which is his third year, so he's starting to. There's definitely a book being built, on him. But I think the biggest thing is too, you look at the history of each coordinator, you know, in, especially Dan, you know, as a head coach, you know, and I think the toughest one is, and really the one they, you know, attempted last year is a tough one. When you have multiple linemen come into the game, that's, you know, that's a different level of, you know, awareness that you have to have. So, you know, they definitely do stress you there in the area of deceptives.
Coach, there is a lot of hype over their coordinator, Ben Johnson, with head coach possibilities last offseason. What do you see in a Ben Johnson offense that makes it unique or really hard to defend?
I think, number one, you know, he has the offensive line and the perimeter pieces, and he's got an excellent quarterback to run the whole book. I think the biggest thing is, as a coordinator, we all have menus, but when you can live – you know, in a full speed, wide open approach, week in and week out, that's where you want to be, and he definitely has that. But he has a really good, you know, combination of a diverse run game and a diverse passing game. So there's always a, you know, flair deceptive to it, but does a really good job with the formation utilization, you know, the shifts and motions, and you know, he does a nice job attacking your force elements in the run game, you know, and particularly the C gap area. So. Yeah, it's a well-coordinated offense.
Coach, you know, you're going up against Jared Goff this weekend. He was somebody who felt like a couple of years ago some people were kind of writing off as like, all right, you know what, he's not going to be the quarterback we thought he would be. But then he's had a lot of success in Detroit. And we've seen, you know, Geno Smith last night in Seattle, a guy who's had a lot of success after kind of being written off, or Baker Mayfield, just other guys across the league. As a general philosophy question within the league right now, do you think that the NFL's learning a little bit, like, hey, we can't write the quarterback position off so quickly? Like, some of these guys do need to take more time to develop.
Absolutely. No, I think the answer is in your question. I mean, it's clearly been going on, I know, in my whole time. There's a lot of high draft picks in the early days. If there's a little more patience and, you know, we're given a second, third chance, that they would have had great careers. And I think that, you know, where you go as a quarterback is important. And quarterbacks only get better in this league, you know, because of, you know, the reps. I think that the 1,300 pass attempts for a quarterback coming out of college is a pretty good indicator of the level of experience that you're dealing with once you get a young man coming out of college. And I think the same thing goes to pro football. You just need to get attempts. And, you know, for these second and third string quarterbacks, I mean, that's why I wish they'd have mandatory fourth quarterback in every organization. It'd only make our game better. But they need trips to the plate. They need to be part of the quarterback school. They need that off-season program. They need the training camp reps, you know, the post-practice reps and all those, because there's so much value in that. These quarterbacks are only going to get better the more time that they can spend in an offense, in the classroom, you know, with the defensive challenges, understanding the trends, everything that goes on in the National Football League. Protection is a huge part of being successful as a quarterback, you know, having the proper tools and adjustments to win at the line of scrimmage and utilize that opportunity to, you know, take advantage of a one-on-one and so forth. I mean, that's not something you can just do in one offseason or a couple offseasons. So, yeah, definitely. I think quarterbacks just need to stay alive because they're only going to get better.
Was that part of the thought process for you guys, I guess, too, with when you brought Trey Lance in, is, hey, like, let's take a guy who obviously had a great skill set. Let's invest in helping him come along more at a pace that allows those talents to flourish.
No, absolutely. I mean, because Trey has everything you're looking for. And on top of it, he's a, you know, high-quality young man. I mean, this guy's got tremendous work ethic. He's got you know, excellent, you know, skill set. He's got the physical traits. But he's an example of what I'm talking about. He needs reps. And, you know, and he's in an excellent, excellent quarterback room with Dak and Cooper and, you know, the young coaches we have in there. So, I mean, it's a great example. And, you know, he's going to play. He's going to start in this league someday. I truly believe that. But, you know, he needs to just keep working towards that.
Mike McCarthy joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. That was the best y'all had run the ball, looks like that, at any point this year. Was the O-line just better in this game, or was Rico seeing things a little bit differently and hitting the right holes?
Well, I think it's all just a combination of things. I think the other thing, too, is, you know, the third down percentage is part of that equation, too. You know, we were getting more trips to the plate and attempts and so forth. I mean, it's hard to be effective running the ball when you only run it, 12, 15 times a game. So the ability to get up, over the 30 attempt threshold is important. When you're, when you're running the ball 30 plus times in a game, I don't know if I've ever not been happy with the outcome. So, because, the run game's tied to the protection and in the action pass game, all those things are tied together.
Coach, Tyler Smith having to step in and play left tackle last week when Tyler Guyton had gone down, looked to do an admirable job of it. Was that just a completely fresh experience for him in terms of something he hadn't done since the last time he played left tackle? Or do you guys practice those reps occasionally with him, like, hey, in an emergency situation, you may need to slide over there?
Well, I think the job he did was outstanding for him to jump out there and play that, because that's obviously a premier position to play, and to do it with, not a whole lot of work is super impressive. But, he's a true pro. I mean, he's on top of it, just from a preparation standpoint. But, we don't give him too many reps out there because obviously Tyler Guyton is, he's a young player. He needs every rep he can get. So all of our young players do. But for him to go out there and, as far as the physical reps that he's had, was definitely impressive.
Coach, Clarence Hill yesterday reported that Zeke was dumbfounded by his lack of opportunities, at least as a red zone back. How frustrated is Zeke, and what can you say about his lack of usage or just usage rate so far this year?
Well, just, sitting down with Zeke and Rico and, just making sure that communication was clear a few weeks back. I mean, we're gonna roll these guys through. Production will be part of the evaluation. But there's definitely a conversation about Zeke and short yards and goal line. I think that's clearly a strength of his. But I feel that the communication has been clear to how we're utilizing all of our players.
Coach, Eric Kendricks hasn't practiced the first 2 days of this week. He's obviously been a big piece for you guys on the football field. How is he trending? And if he can't go, what are kind of your contingency plans for the green dot and the communication?
Well, I mean, we got guys, obviously, Damone and Nick. They primarily work as the, the next guys up in the green dot. Maris has been working in there, too. So, I mean, you always have to have multiple. Malik Hooker has done it for us in the past, too. So Malik works the green dots. So you're always working multiple green dots through your process. So, that's really part of our normal weekly, preparation.
Coach, just general football question again. Is it with the green dot communication, the relaying of the play that's more of a challenge, or adjusting things after you're lined up for that defensive player? Communicating.
Oh, the adjustment, yeah. I mean, the communication is pretty clear because, also there's other means of communicating that you can get done, by position, with the coaches. So there is a means and method to facilitate that. But it's really, getting the front set and the adjustment part of it is the most critical part of it. I mean, he's pretty much the quarterback out there for defense.
So I know like the quarterback's helmet shuts off with like X amount of time on the play clock. Is it the same for the defensive player that's got the green dot and like are you there the entire time with Dak in his head?
That's a great question. I've never used the green dot on the defensive side, but obviously the offensive one goes off at 15 seconds. I would think that they are both the same.
Coach, Jalen Tolbert stepped up in a big way for you guys. How happy have you been with his development and the way he's been able to take advantage of some of these opportunities?
Oh, very happy with Jalen. He's the guy that runs the furthest every day in practice, as far as, workload capacity and things like that. So just to see a young man put so much into it, year round, it's everything that he achieves, he's definitely earned. So just very happy for, seeing him getting more opportunities and most importantly, what he's doing with them. So I thought he played really well against Pittsburgh, did some really good things, which was probably in line to be a game ball winner. But it's good to see him have success.
Well, speaking of game ball then, I guess, can we assume his testicles are okay?
Yeah, he practiced. He's been a full participant in practice, so he's fine.
Coach, last one. With the possibility of Deron Bland returning, I was wondering if you remembered my Deron Bland scouting report in training camp when we sat down, how impressed you were with my observations of him as a player. Do you remember that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was a premier moment in our relationship.
Peyton, let's see if you remember how astonished Coach was.
It looks like Bland has had a hell of a start.
Why did you go out on a limb here?
Yep. That was it. We'll leave it at that, Coach. Thank you so much.
Premier.
Thank you, Coach. Great stuff as always. Good luck Sunday.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.